A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how is it going?
It's going very well, Connor. How's the energy levels this week? How's the technical issues this week? Are they through the roof?
Well, I plugged Facebook back in, okay. So we should, and WhatsApp is back running, so we should be completely okay.
Okay, provided no one just starts jiggling cables in the middle of this recording.
Have you ever seen the picture of the guy like in front of all the wires? Someone had a really great post of that on Twitter. It was just like Mark Zuckerberg right now, and he's just staring at like this big wall of wires. Like, what the fuck do I do?
I'm convinced. Like, anytime you see the big wall of wires, or you know the control panel with all the buttons and switches, there's got to be a couple of them that just do nothing, and they're just there for show, right? Like for symmetry.
Did you work for Facebook last week?
I just turned all the buttons off. What can I say?
Some of these have to be fakes. We better just keep pushing them.
Better go one by one by one.
So this is Movie Monday, Sean. Now, we are in a bit of a weird spot because next week is going to be a pretty massive week. And that is due to the fact that the DC fandom is taking place on the 16th.
Right.
So, next week we will be jam-packed full of DC trailers. But what that means is DC are being very subtle this week. They're not giving too much away. But we do have some reports, maybe some insider scoops, that, of course, we have not gotten. We are not insiders. I know nothing. But I heard a man talk about it to another guy.
Okay. So, and this guy, this man who was talking to that guy, is he a trusted confidant of yours, Connor?
His name was Mr. DC, we call him. We call him Mr. DC.
D for D's nuts, and C for C's nuts. Cock. Connor!
D's nuts. D's nuts. How dare you? So, Sean, Movie Mondays, we will start this week with some pretty big news. And that was the final trailer for Dune. I'm mispronouncing it. Dune. So this movie comes out October 22nd, I think it is. And so it's very weird that they would release, I don't know if it's weird, but it is very unusual that they would release a trailer this close to the release with new footage, not just like clips of the last three trailers thrown together.
Yeah, but I feel there's a reason for it, because the tone of this trailer is quite different from the other trailers we've gotten. So I feel like this trailer is trying to mop up whatever's left of the audience that doesn't know what Dune is.
And do you know what? I think, now, maybe some people haven't seen this trailer, but it's come out, so we're going to talk about it. And that is, I think this is the best trailer that they've put out. And I don't know why, but watching it, I was like, this is epic. This, oh my God, the scale of this is amazing.
This trailer delivers, like, scale. that we haven't seen before. Because it's new footage. It's a lot of footage of battles and ships, and battleships, if you will. But the other trailers were much more about, I would say, nearly like appealing to, you know, like the Dune fan, people who already know what Dune is. But this one is just like, no, this is what you're in for when you come and see this movie.
This is a lot more like, I don't know if, I haven't gone back to watch the previous trailers, but from what I got from this was external shots. So this is more like, this is what we're working with in terms of everything else, how everything looks. Whereas I think, as you said, the rest of them were trying to introduce the story. But more importantly, you've got a lot of famous people in these movies. And so the first thing you do in a trailer is you show off Timothy Chalamet. You show off, like, you show off Zendaya. Like, you go through all of the people you have, Jason Momoa as well.
Momoa gets a lot of play in this trailer, as opposed to all the other ones.
And I think that is, you show, this is the plot, this is who we've got. Now look how fucking beautiful it is. Come see this movie. It's going to be real cool.
Yeah, and also, here's the bad guys. And it's like, here are the stakes. Here's everything you need to know going in for this movie to make sense.
Did you see the dragonfly ship? That was the one that really got me.
It's unreal. It's an ornithopter, it's called.
See, I was going to ask you, as you are a resident expert in this world, is that mentioned in the books? Like, is that description that they are like a dragonfly?
That they have dragonfly wings, basically.
Looks cool on film.
Looks really cool, and a big part in it is that you hear those coming before you see them. You hear like the thup 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 of the wings flapping. So I'm really looking forward to the sound design in the movie, kind of delivering on that. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be so fucking cool. Also, Oscar Isaacs gets a fucking, he has it down, like the regal lord who's still a good family man as well.
Yeah.
He does that really well.
And I think we naturally trust Oscar. He's a likeable man. He's just a nice boy. that's Poe. We just gotta trust him.
That's Apocalypse under 8 layers of makeup.
I trusted him then. Guys, hear him out. I think he's on the right path here.
But no, this trailer seems, It's much more blockbustery, if that. And
yes,
not saying that in a disparaging way at all, but it feels like, no, this is a big showpiece event movie that people need to see.
If the previous movies are introducing everything, this is to show the scale. Like, this is like if they had a scale a dial there and they just put it up to 11 and they were just like, no, this is big. And watching this was the first time I was like, oh, holy shit. Because then it comes up, it's like, oh, it's like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. And that's the perfect time to do it in this trailer. Because like, people who aren't as involved as us, maybe, are watching it going, what is this? This is, Jesus, this looks really big. And like, all these famous people, it's going to get casual people in. Just for the cool look of it. And I think,
yeah, your general audience kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think there can't be a lot more said for just a movie looks cool.
It's important.
It's something we don't like to admit, but if you just go see a trailer and go, that looked real cool, someone's like, yeah, I might go see that. Have you seen that latest trailer? Yeah, I don't know what it's about.
And because there's been like test screenings and things like that, and you know, film festival screenings going on of this movie, and that's how now they have all those reviews that they can pepper into the trailer and put on the poster, and you know, send it out to news publications to be like, oh, and these people called it the next Lord of the Rings, and that's all you need, or the next Star Wars. Like, that's all you need for these things to be successful.
Now here is a question that I was thinking of watching it, though, is that it promises such a grand scale, but on the other side, we know that this film is only technically part one, so like the first half of the first book. So will that leave people disappointed when they go in thinking, look at the amount, like, this is so big and it's 2.5 hours and it's not resolved at the end?
It's a good point, but like, there's a lot of things that aren't resolved at the end of movies, but people are like, oh, I can't wait to see the next one. Like, the end of Empire Strikes Back. Like, that movie resolves nothing, but it leads into Return of the Jedi, and people are real hyped at the end of it.
The idea is that within the movie itself, you give the audience something that they have closure. So halfway through the book, I'm assuming shit goes down, but is there a point where they can go, okay, stop.
There is.
Now let's go again.
The first book was originally published in three parts in a magazine.
Okay.
And then after the fact, it was all collected and published as a novel. So if you think, like, and it's the same story that's being told. So that same story that was told in three parts was so successful that people kept reading to part two and then to part three. And then there was enough momentum behind it to get a book. And now there's enough momentum to get another movie made of it. So I think, like, the story is there and it has convinced audiences to stick around in the past. In what is... it's a tough read at points, you know. So
yeah.
if people are willing to buy into that, I think they'll buy into, oh, I'll see another 2-hour film of this.
And I think just the plot itself, I mean, it could get bogged down. I'm hopeful it would, but if there's something that you show this beautiful world that they're on, they've got to go to this world. And then the whole family go there and they all get picked off. They start getting picked off, I should say, one by one. And then you have Momoa trying to defend the kid of the family. He's like, okay, you're with me. And so, like, Momoa also, I'm assuming he'll have a massive part in this. What's the deal with the blue, you know, when they turn into, like, particles? Is that their shields, are they? More so than just, like, they're not holograms.
No, yeah. So there is holo shields in June, and they're used in fighting. So, like, you could throw a knife at someone and it would deflect off of the shield if you do it too quickly. So when you're fighting, you kind of have to do the fast swing, stop, intentionally plunge. And so, like, it's just... It's to separate. That's how, like, the rich people fight. And then the desert people, it's just like, there's no shields. Like, if you get hit with a knife, you're going down.
Yeah.
So okay. It's another separation thing.
And just even the fight scene in this. And I also, very, very small thing, but we've seen the conversation between Timothée Chalamet and Jason Momoa. But from, like, it's a different take. So it's him talking about the dreams, and then he's like, well, more important things happen in the real world, like, not in dreams. But the first time it's kind of said jokingly, like, he's taking the piss out of him, I think, in the last trailer. And then this one, it's kind of taken from a different point of view, just like, no, you need to stick. Don't get distracted by all that stuff.
Yeah, because Duncan is like, that's Momoa's character, Duncan Idaho. He's like, he is a soldier. Like, he is just... focus on, he's just the best soldier that someone can possibly be. So it's totally right for him to be like, dreams are fine, but we're going to a planet that was controlled by our enemies in the past. Like, you should focus on that right now.
And that weird dream girl, I would just forget her just for a little bit, because we're going in here, and then halfway through, I'm assuming he's like, oh wait, that's the dream girl. Quick, that's the answer to all of my problems.
Shit, man, you didn't say it was Zendaya.
I'm going back. Let me into your dreams, kid.
I want another beating him across. Let me in.
Look, I think, does this trailer help with your excitement levels?
I'm really hyped for this movie.
Okay, we've got 2 weeks left, and then it's coming. Is it even 2 weeks? No, it is. It's just under 2 weeks.
Long enough away.
Long enough away. We're definitely doing a review on that. It's going to be pretty big. I hope that when we do the review, I don't come out with lots of questions. But I probably will, Sean, and that's where you come in to answer all my idiocy.
That's fair. So, and here's the thing, because we usually do full spoilers for the movie, but I'm assuming it won't be full spoilers for the series, right?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just for that movie alone.
For that particular movie. So you can listen to it if you've seen the movie. And I'll be on my best behaviour.
Please. So we're moving on to our next piece of news. And this is a news story, Sean, that caught my eye. Because I think it's so perfectly up our alley that it's movie news, but stupid.
So, oh.
Because I have Face Off 2.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Hear me out. Hear me out. See that reaction?
Yeah.
Apparently, this might surprise you, studio execs having the same reaction, Sean, because I have Face Off 2's script is apparently too confusing for studio execs to understand.
I believe it. I really believe it. Face Off 1's script, I'm amazed that ever got made.
Like, yeah.
That was, what, 94 was Face Off?
Yeah, around then. And they took a man's face and put it on a different man's face.
Yeah, so they were playing each other as themselves, but they were two different actors.
Like, yes, that's... Well, you need Oscar winner Nicolas Cage for that kind of role.
So, in Face... I assume it doesn't give details about the script of Face Off 2, but I can only assume there's more faces being more offed.
Yeah. It
I love how it took you a second to process that.
I was like going to answer it properly, and then I was like, wait,
well, that shouldn't be a question.
So apparently the writer of the movie, Simon Barrett, he's been kind of giving interviews this week, and he said, I want to say something that people haven't mentioned yet. It took Adam and I 2 years to pitch Face Off 2 because our pitch was so confusing that the studio just kept saying, we think we like what you're saying, but can you just explain who's got whose face on in this scene?
Jesus Christ. That's an amazing sentence. That's like a professional had to say.
The writer of the film has actively out loud said the line that he definitely should have kept to himself. They had to ask us so many times, what's happening? I think I like it, but who's who and whose face is where?
Like, I mean, face swap technology presumably has gotten better since 94. So
much better.
Like, in the world of face off. Like, surely, because it worked so well in 94. Surely now they can swap brains or something.
It was seamless back then.
Sorry.
What can we do now?
What if it's a face-off situation and you can swap faces with people, but you can also swap brains with other people?
But does that not ultimately be a pointless situation? Because you've just given your own face and brain to a different body.
No, because you swap faces. So Nicolas Cage and John Travolta swap faces, okay? So Nicolas Cage's brain
still
is
in the
John Travolta's face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so okay. And we're just sticking with Cage brain, Travolta face for the minute. Because right. Then we bring in Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill as another duo. And now Nicolas Cage's brain is in Channing Tatum's body. And Channing Tatum's brain is in John Travolta's.
Okay.
But no, Nicolas Cage's body with John Travolta's face on it.
Right. But and then where does Jonah come in?
So Jonah has swapped with Nicolas Cage's body. No, with John Travolta's body with Nicolas Cage's face on it. And Nicolas Cage's John Travolta's brain. And now they've swapped. And then what you do is you get Channing and Jonah, and then they do a brain swap. So now,
okay,
and then Channing and Jonah swap faces with Travolta and Cage, who then
22 Face Off Street.
22 Face Off Street, of course.
Do you know what? That's where Hollywood's going. That's the role.
If you tie anything into that new Jump Street universe that they have, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. They were going to tie in with Men in Black at one point.
They were, yeah. No, I just feel like the idea that they've actively come out and said, yeah, they didn't understand what was going on. It wasn't apparently until they wrote a 35-page treatment that the studio finally understood who was who and whose face was where at every single point that they were talking about.
That treatment might be the first treatment in history to actually include diagrams. Because absolutely they were like, and now person A has face B.
And also he says, but now there's a lot of enthusiasm at the studio level.
Oh good. Oh, you love to see it.
So now he's like, they're all in. because now we've got this plot down. They understand it. We understand. We all understand Face Off too. Now it's so simple. We've broken it down. We still don't have people's faces to take off, but we do have the story locked in. It's bulletproof. You can't go wrong. Plot points.
At which point will we get to like a point in film where, you know, Disney owns everything and everything's just a copy of a copy of a copy, but there's this weird indie movement where two men will actually swap face, like in real life, and then they'll film that. Like, there's going to be that shock level of cinema. It probably exists somewhere on the dark web, I'll be honest.
I mean, I'll just type into my dark web account here now and I'll check it out for you. Don't you worry.
Close your dark web Facebook while you're at it.
Facebook already is the dark web, Sean.
All the information's there. Oh, no.
Mark knows everything about us. Oh, no.
But if you're looking to protect your data, the best service you could...
Shut up. Shut up until they sponsor us.
Oh, someone give me an ad read. I'd be so good at it.
I think you'd be excellent at it. It's your one thing that you're good at.
Yeah, I do it for free. I won't do it for free. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not meant to do it for free, but you do it for free for some reason.
For the love of the product, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love audiobooks.
You do. So we're going to move on to our next piece of news, Sean. That Face Off 2 news was only there for that one quote. That they were just like, we think we like it, but we don't really understand.
It's fair. It's fair. I've often felt like that about movies.
So we're moving on to some Star Wars news, Sean. And there were some details that surfaced during the week. A pretty big news, I would say, about Obi-Wan Kenobi, everyone's favourite character from the show. He's, of course, getting his own Disney Plus show that's coming out, and Mr. Ewan McGregor is making the return. But another thing that kind of came up is that what could happen, also we know Hayden Christensen will reprise his role as Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, in the series itself. It has now come up that, according to the reports, Obi-Wan Kenobi will see, perhaps, an Obi-Wan Kenobi Darth Vader rematch taking place in the series itself.
Interesting. But So, they have the fight above the lava. Don't underestimate my power. I have the high ground. Yeah.
Anakin, the Emperor is evil. Not from my perspective. I disagree respectfully.
Peak writing. It's somehow better than Palpatine Returned.
Somehow.
Anakin jumps, loses three limbs out of the five limbs he will lose in total over the course of his life.
That's a terrible ratio of loss of limb to limb parts.
Absolutely awful, my friend. 60% gone in one stroke. And then Anakin becomes Darth Vader. Obi-Wan goes to live on Tatooine. Years later, about 20 years later, Luke is a grown-up. And then they fly. And then Darth Vader and Obi-Wan have a fight. And I thought that was intended to be the first time that they had seen each other since the delimiting. So
the delimiting. But Sean, you're kind of forgetting the one sacred rule of Hollywood, and that is, wouldn't it be cool though?
It would be cool. Oh, he's right there, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It would be cool.
Because the reports are that Obi-Wan Kenobi will see the Jedi causing mayhem for the newly formed Galactic Empire. So he's going around causing a bit of mischief, I take that as. Maybe, you know, like just pushing people over. Maybe just the odd, like, string across the road when they're flying and if the car flips over, it's a whole thing.
I'm familiar.
At one point, Kenobi will stir up trouble by completing a rescue mission, successfully saving a character key to the Rebel Alliance's cause. As matters escalate, Darth Vader is dispatched from his castle on Mustafar in an effort to intercept his former master.
Right. And they'll have... You think they'll have a fight?
I can only assume there's going to be a scene where Darth Vader goes, fine, I'll do it myself, and grabs the helmet.
Ah, very good.
Yes.
Maybe.
And he comes wearing stilts, so he's always on the high ground.
Well, that's the thing. Like, all of his cybernetics give him an extra couple of inches on Kenobi. But
he comes up like on a pogo stick. You can't fucking take me now, can you?
I'm always on the high ground. And Obi-Wan's like, I have the moral high ground. I didn't kill children.
Fuck. Not from my perspective, Obi-Wan, no, he'll say.
If you think about it, Anakin.
He has a slideshow, and just like the first slide, think about it, Anakin. And he just keeps pointing at.
He has the Ten Commandments, just like, thou shalt not kill. And then he gets like, annotate in Google Meet, and it's just like, children. Thou shalt not kill children. He's rubbing his temples
like, I didn't need to think I needed to explain this one to you, Anakin. I felt like you'd fill in the gaps yourself, but obviously the younglings were off limits. Surely you'd understood that.
So how many years into Darth Vader is this series? Like, presumably it's like, I would probably guess 5 or 10.
I mean, it does say the newly formed Galactic Empire. So right. How far is newly formed? Like, it could be a year, but that doesn't make any sense because Ewan McGregor, although he looks fantastic, he doesn't, like, it's not going to be a continuous or a carry on. I mean, you could do 5 years. The man doesn't age, so I suppose you could do it whenever.
Still looks great, yeah. Like, I think maybe 5 years and then give them 15 years until their next meeting, I suppose. But I feel it's kind of weak, isn't it? To just be like, let's just have them fight again.
Do you think that they should have done Maul rather than Vader?
See, he fights Maul in Rebels. And in Rebels, Maul is like, after all these years, I meet you for the first time again. And it's like, oh, okay, you've really nailed down when exactly these two have met. Like, I don't think there's any wiggle room there. I think it would be better, and this might annoy some Darth Vader fans, I think it would be better if Darth Vader was afraid to face Obi-Wan.
Like, he has PTSD. I mean, he lost all of his limbs.
He lost all his limbs, yeah. He lures him back to Mustafar.
The delimiting occurred.
They're in, like, the chocolate river room from Willy Wonka, and it's just flashing between that and lava for him. And he's having a fucking nightmare time. But, like, I would love it, like, if, like, Darth Vader was just sending hordes and hordes of fucking stormtroopers at Obi-Wan.
And he's just killing them all.
Yeah, and he's just like, I don't need to go down there. And he's just saving face.
Yeah, I think that could be, like, a really interesting... Look, I don't care how cool you are, right? If you fight someone and they take all of your limbs, I think the next time you fight them, you're going to have a second. You're going to have maybe a moment to go, you know what, might not be for me.
The next time you fight them, you are going to make sure that they are an ancient old man who already wants to die. Okay?
And like, hates the series he's in.
And the thing is that there is, like, precedence in the comics for Darth Vader having softer moments. Like, there's a comic that takes place during Empire Strikes Back where C-3PO is all busted apart and Anakin, like, orders everyone out of the room and he just gets C-3PO's head and just, like, presses it against his own. Like, he's like, because he built him and he's like, this is a reminder of everything that ever happened to me ever. So I just think it would be cool if he didn't want to face Obi-Wan again.
Yeah, I think that's a good, and also I think that's more interesting as a character if he won't face him. And look, at the very end, you could have the face-off and they start to fight. Obi-Wan immediately gets the upper hand. He's like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not getting involved in this.
Yeah, like, he's captured, they're about to fight, and Obi-Wan just, like, jumps off of the building, grabs a robot, flies down to a bar, buys some death sticks.
Pops back. Hello there. Then pops back to the dead sticks.
Goes, lives with the sand people. Like, It's fallen into place.
They don't get us to write Star Wars because we just want to do prequel stuff again.
it's always callbacks to the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Where's the callback to Wattle?
I want death sticks. Is that too much to ask? I just want some death sticks.
Imagine, like, what if this series took a turn and it was just fucking Trainspotting, but Obi-Wan was on death sticks the whole time, and he's fucking miserable in the desert, and he's just high out of his mind.
The only way he lights his death stick is with his lightsaber. Yeah, like he just burns it off, burns the end, and then just flicks it off, puts it back in his pocket.
He has his big lightsaber. Then he has a little tiny one that's in the shape of a spoon, and he's just heating.
And Darth Vader finds him, and he's just like, "Oh man, come on!
Oh, this is this is not you, man.
How am I in the better position of this morally? And I killed some kids last week."
Yeah, and like Darth Vader spends a year nursing him back to health, and then is like, "Well, back to my empire," and then. And Obi-Wan's like, "That was a crazy fever dream I had.
I better go stop some rebels." Wait, no, not the rebels. Like he's been inundated now. He's like, "Wait a minute. Those younglings kind of had it coming now that I think about it."
Fucking, oh, I've got a kid-killing itch right now.
He gets off the death sticks and onto kid-killing. Ah, one more addiction solved.
Healthy substitutes.
Look, I think this Obi-Wan series could be really great. I'm really excited about it. Especially after The Mandalorian and everything to do with that. Like, there's some good stuff coming out. I think it'd be good for a bit of nostalgia pop if you brought back Vader. I don't think it needs it, but if you want to bring him back even for a scene, that's cool.
I think this is because of, like, the Luke return in The Mandalorian. That did really well online. And with Darth Vader, you just get a man in a suit. Like, you don't need to pay Hayden Christensen to be in the suit if he doesn't want to.
They did say Hayden Christensen was on set, though. So, I mean, if he was, is just that a waste of a paycheck?
He's eye acting, I suppose. Like,
do you need him? Like, in reality, I mean, just don't pay someone less. Just get somebody else in.
Yeah, Bladen Christensen. Huh?
His brother.
Of course. Very unimaginative parents there. But no, I think he's just going to be like in healing tanks and shit like that, brooding. I think that's going to be a lot of his acting in this.
Yeah, and then you get him on the press tour as well. So
yeah.
Win-win.
And then you get those photos of them like staring at each other, being angry and shit.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And they'll be asked, "How much did you work out for the role?" It's going to be good. Oh, I can't wait for that question.
He'd be like, "I didn't. I'm all CGI now."
And they'll be having laughs about how old they are. It's going to be an absolute riot. We're moving on, Sean, to our next piece of news, and this is rumours. We've got rumours coming out for there could be a bit of a spin-off of one of the recent Marvel films in development, and that is Xia Ling's character from Shang-Chi. The Shang-Chi spin-off series centered on Xia Ling's Ten Rings is in development, apparently. So
interesting.
This is, of course,
let's just say spoilers for Shang-Chi, just while we're talking about this.
So this is, of course, Shang-Chi. What happens is at the end of the series, his sister takes over the Ten Rings, and she is now in charge. And so the idea is that there will be a spin-off series based on her basically rebuilding the Ten Rings from scratch.
And making it a different organization. I don't think they're going to be like the Ninja Avengers kind of thing. I think they'll still do some shady shit. That illegal fighting tournament is definitely still going on, as we've seen.
Oh yeah, that'd be pretty cool though.
Yeah, but it could be a cool way to introduce like the Hand in Marvel, in the MCU, like the essentially League of Assassins. That you could have,
or if people are more likely to like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Foot Clan,
of course,
very similar.
Comic book writers, as it turns out, quite funny guys.
I think it's like Stick trades Daredevil, they're trained by Splinter. So he's just a little bit off stick.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, he's a rat. Like, he doesn't need to be massive. Oh, no, he is big. Because of the rate. Ah.
He's big. Mutation. He's big for a rat. He's big for a rat, Sean.
Big for his age. You're right.
big for
his age. Yeah, he's somehow like 100 as well. It's very strange.
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. But what does make sense is this Xia Ling series spin-off that they're thinking about. I think that would be fun to see. Like, it'd be nice to get more of a, I suppose, more characters' viewpoints about the shit that happens in the MCU. You know? Like,
yeah, and I think it's always interesting when we have spin-off series like this coming from a film, but I mean, within the film itself, she even says the line, if you remember, like, she's like, oh, if my dad won't let me into his empire, she's going to build her own empire. I think that's not verbatim, but it's along those lines of, like, if he's not going to let me involved in his thing, I'm going to build my own thing. And that's why she sets up the fighting ring. That's why she has that whole separate thing on the side.
Yeah.
And so now she has all this group and this team. It's interesting where they'd go with this, because I was getting the impression that she's not like outright good. And I don't mean that in a bad, like, she's not like just the hero of the story.
No.
I think the Ten Rings are seen as more like underhanded. They're just a gag. They go like the Foot, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're not, I don't think they have, like, you know, end goals of, like, take over the world. But I think if they see, like, a corrupt politician, whereas Captain America would bring them into jail, the new Ten Rings, might just kill him, you know, and not feel bad about that.
Yeah, I think this could be really interesting, but also, how do you make this a series? Would be my, like, this rumour has come out, but my question is, how is this, what's the end goal? Like, do they come out of it looking, like, heroic? Do they stop worlds, like, they save the world, or did they just kill off politicians that pissed them off for the whole series?
I mean, it could be a, like a vengeance kind of thing. Like, the families, well, I suppose the Mandarin already killed the families that killed her mother. He did do that, didn't he?
He did, yeah. So who is she killing? Who is she mad at? Shang-Chi.
She's just coming mainly for him. Trevor Slattery, he could die.
Oh, that'd be a good end of the series.
Just
kill him.
Slow torturing him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pulling
that's the 10 episodes.
Out. Yeah. One fingernail per episode. So.
The delimiting. It's happening again.
Because I feel as well that, like, Shang-Chi is going to be looking after any mystical problems that take place.
Yeah, he's got off with the Avengers now as well.
Yeah, so I feel like she would be more, unless she's kind of replacing the role of, like, the Red Room in the MCU.
That's not good.
No, it's not. No, but, like, with a better fucking organisational practices. But right.
They've got unions.
Yeah, so, like, crack teams of assassins on missions and shit like that.
Okay.
Well, like, maybe they're hired out to do things. It could just be, what if it's just a fictional fighting tournament and they just do that? Like,
that's actually probably cooler than anything else that they could
do.
Yeah.
Just like Mortal Kombat the series.
I mean, and just have it under the MCU guys.
Yeah. And they can, and this will take place after Spider-Man, so they can bring people in from any dimension they want.
I'm bringing back Toby. Bring Toby in.
No, I want the X-Men from First Class to fight the X-Men from The Last Stand.
Oh, who wins that?
The Last Stand has it, I think.
How?
Because, like, they have early 2000s powers. They're not grounded. Oh, they're not limited to reality.
First Class. Are we going to a First Class team?
What would you say is, like, the peak team of that era of X-Men movies?
Oh, it's a good one. First Class has Magneto and X on the same team, though.
That's
so I don't
true.
Know what you're coming up with.
It's better
than that.
Famke Janssen's Phoenix, I guess.
Yeah, who has Jean Grey at are both powerful with Professor X? They're the winners.
I think it's probably...
X2?
Probably X2. Actually, yeah, give me the X2 team versus the Dark Phoenix team.
Ooh, okay. See, the Jean Greys cancel each other out. And then you got adult Cyclops against child Cyclops. Adult Cyclops has taken that.
Yeah. Adult Nightcrawler versus teen Nightcrawler. I think Alan Cumming's.
But then, as long as there's any Magneto and X, any team that has the two of them.
Magneto and Dark Phoenix, actually, he does have that train fight. Oh,
he does have that. It's such a good train fight.
Such a good train fight.
We did a review of Dark Phoenix when it came out, and we spent an hour being like, this is shit. Like, this is a real bad movie. And then it got to that one train fight scene, and we were like, this is the best scene I've seen all year.
This is the best Magneto scene that's ever been put to film or a comic. Oh.
We didn't go big. We just went home.
Yeah, we did.
It was go big or go home. But we said this is the greatest scene ever put to cinema. A lot of people agreed with us. But go back and watch it. It holds up.
We were in Cannes at the time, so they might have been a little bit pissed.
I was sipping my martini. Of course. So we're moving on to our next piece of news, and this involves doubts about a certain project that we felt was a home run, that the green light was up, it was ready to go. And that is Joker's Joaquin Phoenix has cast doubt on sequel reports, Sean.
Interesting. So the actor playing the titular role of the Joker has said, no, I'm not doing it.
So the story goes that they did Joker 1, massive success. DC are absolutely delighted with it. But from recent months, the stories that we've been getting out from Warner Brothers is that they are all steams ahead for Joker 2 and even a Joker 3. Todd Phillips has been like, I'm in, let's go. We made like nearly $1 billion on the last one, let's fucking go. And we also, reports in even May or June of this year said that Phillips had actually already signed on to direct Joker 2. Which is why we were like, well, if he signed on, I'm assuming it's going to happen.
It doesn't make any sense.
But then Joaquin Phoenix was asked in a recent interview this week. He said, asked if a sequel will happen, I don't know. He said, it's a really interesting guy. There are some things we could do with the guy. I could explore it further. But as to whether we actually will, I don't actually know, to be honest. So... He's not too sure, but Todd Phillips is signed on, so I'm confused.
I guess they just want to work on it for a while and see if there's anything doing there. They'll just look into, okay, where will this story go? See, does that test well? And then they'll be like, hey, Joaquin, you want to do another Joker movie? No, if he doesn't want to do it, I have a theory.
They're going to do a prequel. No, hang on. Well, they've already done the prequel.
You know the thing in the comics, the three Jokers storyline?
Yes, that the Jokers are endless, or ageless.
Yeah, they're basically like the different ages of comics. So like the Golden Age, Silver Age, and then the fucking mental Joker. They're all the Joker, and they're all operating at the same time. That, I think... Todd Phillips' Joker is set in, like, the 70s, isn't it?
Yes.
So what if you did one set in the 50s with, like, more of a wacky Joker?
Or you could do, like, one set in the modern times with the Joker now who rips off his own face and then, like, sellotapes it back on.
That's a bit of a strange version of the Joker, I would say.
He's pretty evil. Pretty evil, to be fair.
Do you think if they asked Jared, he would do it?
Jared's delighted. Jared wants to be Joaquin, is how I would describe it. Like, Jared wants to be seen in that light.
Yeah, he wants that, like, iconic portrayal of the Joker.
It's interesting, or just in general, just as a performer. It's not often that Joaquin Phoenix will go back to a role. It's not often he does a sequel for anything. Yeah. He normally just like does one, knocks out of the ballpark, moves on to the next weird movie that he's locked in and absolutely kills the performance again. It's only because it was made on a $60 million budget and it made $1 billion that it's... For anyone who's ever done anything to do with film, or if you've ever seen one film, if I told you that recovery over the how much it cost, you would say, well, they'll definitely do a sequel then. So
yeah.
It's strange to think that they would, but also I think it's much better if they don't. So it's kind of a weird position to be in that we're like, we were locked in to be like, this is a bad idea, and now it might not be happening, and I don't want to get my hopes up that it won't though. Because it could also just be Joaquin Phoenix hasn't been told that the script is finished.
That's true. But also, like, I feel like that there's just not as much hype as there was at that point. Because
yes.
When Joker was announced, we were coming off the back of, like, you know, Batman v Superman and Justice League and Aquaman and all this kind of stuff. So a different take on a comic book character was fairly interesting. So I think after Matt Reeves is the Batman, depending on how well that does, I think this Joker project might get new steam behind it. And DC will double down on doing movies that aren't connected.
That's interesting. It could also be a situation that they're waiting to see how the Batman does for if they want to change the Joker. And, like, recast another Joker. Because, I mean, if there's anything in the world we know, Warner Bros. Are always trying to recast a Joker into a different Joker. Because everyone knows who the Joker is. And everyone knows who Batman is. So they're always trying to recast those two roles.
But would it be cheesy? Like, would it be, like, predictable to, at the end of the Batman, set up the Joker as the villain for the second movie?
It would be bold. Is what I would say. But not Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. I'm thinking they'll probably go a different Joker again. So different from Jared as well. Because
I think they would do a clean break and just be like, okay, new Joker, for real this time. Let's do it. It's David Dasmalchian.
He's got more damaged. He's got tattoos again.
I have a feeling like he would... There would be a bit where he... walks into a tattoo parlor and is like, I don't want any of these, and then walks out. Like, that's how burned they were. Because what would be better is if the Joker tattooed damaged on other people's heads.
That would make more sense, wouldn't it? It'd be
that's
more of a psychological, like, fucked up thing.
Yeah, and like, if the Joker tattooed ha 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 on people, that makes more sense than him sitting down in the chair and getting those tattoos. And doing the aftercare process.
I don't mind the fake teeth. I'm okay with
you
that.
Don't mind
Batman
the grill.
Knocks them all out. I'm not a big fan. I mean, the grill is just more. He's like a gangster. What can you do? If that's what they were going for, but the damage tattoo just still makes no sense. But I think it would be funnier though if they did a reboot of Joker, but then they just redone the same look. of Jared's Joker. Like, they never changed anything. They're just like, we're just gonna recast it. People like, won't notice.
But to be fair, I think with a, dare I say, with a better actor, that Joker could have worked.
That's double Oscar winner, Jared Leto, you're talking about.
It might be, but how's that Morbius movie looking?
Well, we don't know, Sean.
To be honest,
I don't know. We're moving on to our next piece of news, and this is something that, Sean, I think you'll be interested in. It's
Bold
about
claim.
Pokemon. So we recently had a live action, kind of live action movie of Pokemon that was Detective Pikachu. And Pokemon fans may soon be getting another live action film and the start of a proper shared universe, says one rumour, Sean.
You had me and lost me right there.
Once again, rumour and hearsay. But Pokemon could be developing a live-action film connected to Netflix's series. So, according to the Illuminati, which is a good name, Netflix is
they're a popular like leak site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Netflix is currently developing a live-action Pokemon film. The movie will reportedly not be related to Detective Pikachu. Instead, it will feature an entirely new story, but one that's connected to Netflix's other live-action Pokemon venture as well. So, they're working on a live-action Pokemon series, and they also could be working on another live-action film involving Pokemon. So after the success of Detective Pikachu, I think they're just going all in on this.
Okay. Like, that's fine. I think Pokemon as a brand, yeah, of course they're going to, you know, diversify into every media possible. But you can't just... I think Detective Pikachu was kind of lightning in a bottle in a way, because it had so many things going for it. One, it wasn't just, oh, let's... Ryan Reynolds. Just off of, like, Deadpool and Deadpool 2, Ryan Reynolds.
Mm.
And then you also had, like... It wasn't just, oh, let's follow a trainer and see him beat the Elite Four. But it was... No, it's a mystery. It's a mystery story. That's a lot of that movie. Also, there's about 8 Pokemon models in the whole fucking film. So I'd like to see more, please. But what if... Have you seen Warrior?
I haven't.
Oh, it's really good. You get a kick out of it. Tom Hardy is excellent.
Warrior. Yes, I have. Yes. Tom Hardy, the fighting one. Yes.
Yeah. Do Warrior, yeah. But with Pokemon. Wouldn't that be unreal?
We don't care if they die. Let's fuck them up.
It's fucking... R-rated Pokemon. People, like, they see, just die.
The problem with live-action Pokemon is then you actually get a sense that this is just dog fighting, but just with different animals.
That was really weird in Detective Pikachu, because, like, there's just Pokemon surrounded by chain link fence and people cheering and laughing, like.
Yeah, and one of them's gonna, like, get viciously hurt.
Yeah. Like, especially when you consider, like, they actively think about type advantage. So, like, someone will burn a Pokemon made of grass. That's horrifying.
This is the series we want. Is this the series that people want, you sick bastards?
Sick.
But also, be cool. If there was Ash, give him Pikachu. Let's see what happens.
Get Scarlett Johansson to play Ash.
Oh, no, and Pikachu.
And Pikachu. Multi-talented. Look, I'm not, like... I don't like this. I think I've come down on the side. I don't like that. And I like,
see,
Pokemon.
You were about to say something positive, but you also love Pokemon. So I'm giving you a live action series and film,
yeah.
Sean. I mean, what's the issue?
Oh, I think I've just been burned too many times. I also think, like, Pokemon's a fun game. I'm playing the game. Is the thing. I have agency over that.
Mm.
But just a Pokemon film? That's not Pokemon the first movie, which is a fucking treasure. But don't
what
make
if they
that
remade
like that.
Pokemon the first movie?
But they, like, they kind of already they burned their Mewtwo bridge already, didn't they?
But it's not connected to Detective Pikachu. So you could technically do the Mewtwo reveal again.
Oh, but that movie's perfect, though. And I know I'm biased, because I was literally the peak demographic for it when it came out.
Like, it was aimed at you in 2000.
Yeah. I was in the fucking sniper rifles of fucking Nintendo at that time. But, look, it'll be made, it'll probably be fine. I would argue it would be about as successful as the Pokemon cartoons.
I hope the CGI on the Pokemon is good, because if it's not, it's going to lose all interest from everyone.
It should. There's no excuse other than underfunding for bad CGI at this point. Yeah, but that's, like, Netflix is weird, because if you had told me that they were doing a live-action Pokemon TV show on fucking the CW, I'd be like, that's going to look like shit. But because it's Netflix, there is a bit more quality to it. So
they just have unlimited funds. I mean, they're already like $1 trillion in debt. So they're just like, fuck it, let's burn some more money.
But they just have so many users that they have value. So
yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't think it'll be wildly successful.
Right, that's a positive spin.
It's a real nothing statement for me, to be fair, but...
I don't think it'll be successful.
I don't. Why does everything need a live action version?
Because that's where they make the money. But they've already made so much money.
You're telling me Pokemon hasn't made money up until this
point? They're absolutely bankrupt. They're selling the feckin' cabinets to get a bit more money to pay for the air. Like, the lights, the gas, they don't pay for themselves, John. They have to start selling some things.
Yeah, but surely putting all the money into a live action film when there's already so many things you could be doing.
The person who voices Ash, homeless. Homeless these days. Can't get any work at all.
No, she's not. She hosts a very successful video game show called Hey Ash, What You Playing?
I disagree. I don't think so. I'm pretty positive homeless because there's no money in it.
No. Like, do you follow Ash? Do you just follow Ash?
If everyone asks me, they just redo Pokemon Emerald and I will watch it. Okay, we're going to finish you off this week. Sean, I've got a report that has come out from several scoopers, people who are in the know, who have kind of all corroborated what's been going on. And that is that the Batman sequel has already been given a green light on the go-ahead, Sean.
Interesting. So this is Matt Reeves' The Batman that we were talking
about earlier. Matt Reeves' The Batman that was meant to come out this year but has been pushed back. We had a few weeks ago that all of the people in the studio, they went to go see the film, got a standing ovation, yada, yada, yada. Who gives a shit? Because they did the same versus Batman versus Superman and all the exact best movie ever. So, I mean...
Better than Citizen Kane, guys.
Any reports that come out of any of that stuff is not worth the paper it's written on. It doesn't matter. Just go watch the movie yourself. But they've apparently... already greenlit a sequel to the film that hasn't come out and isn't coming out until March of next year, which would imply to me that they are very confident that this is going to do well, and they already are thinking, well, next one has to be lined up. So
yeah, and this was always intended to be a trilogy, right? But they hadn't allocated funds, say, for number two yet.
No, I think they were still waiting on, like, fan reaction. They were still waiting on where the world was. Where would people be interested in another trilogy? Because we were just coming off Batfleck. So it was kind of still fresh in people's minds. So I think they were like, right, we'll just do one and we'll see how that goes. And then we'll go from there.
But that's off the basis of studio executives saying it was... were like saying it was good, like, and liking it.
So it's based off the studio executives, but also just Warner Brothers themselves have apparently already kind of been behind this idea. So Matt Reeves must have come to them and said, I have a story for 2 and 3. Okay. And they're like, we've seen what you do for what, go on.
Or Christopher Nolan just left. Whopper just trying to keep people on payroll.
How do we fuck with Nolan's head, lads? What do we do? Anyone ideas? Do another fucking trilogy. Batman trilogy.
What if we make? What? And we'll market it the best Batman trilogy ever. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah. And what we'll do is we'll get a Joker in for number 2. Bane in for 3. What's Hardy doing? Is Hardy around? We'll get him in for Joker. Really fuck with Nolan's head.
Joker. Oh my god.
And Nolan's like just rubbing his temples, like, oh, for fuck's sake, let's.
As a Universal executive, is just like, so they're these monsters, right? And they're part of a team.
It cuts to him just reading the script for this set to turn the Batman. He's like, this is fucking good. And he's being told, like, so we're doing Dracula Untold again, but this time it's told. We want you involved, Chris.
Dracula Retold. Oh.
Guy sits back. Chris, talk to
Chris,
me.
I'll let you work with that. You enjoy that for just a second.
Maybe he goes back in time. Maybe time means nothing. Maybe it's forwards, backwards. Just maybe the end of the movie is the start of the movie. You do one of your Nolan tricky tricks and then we'll just add it in. We'll just add it in at the end. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we'll just, you do your thing and we'll make it work. We'll market it. It'll be fine. It'll make money.
Have you seen our logo? Our Dark Universe logo? Fucking class, Chris.
As Matt Reeves is just there, like, in the Batman costume, swinging around, having the time of his life.
Do you think that this is a good idea to already have this lined up? But they do also have several series already lined up and ready to go.
That's true as well. So I guess they need to be pretty confident in the property, don't they?
They have a GCPD series already coming out and a Penguin spin-off series. Penguin, of course, being played by Colin Farrell in the film. They've already apparently got two other spin-offs are also planned. So they're bringing out this movie and four spin-off series. I mean, they'd be crazy to just leave it at one if they're going to do that.
Even if it's pretty good, I would say they'd be giving it a sequel. You know, like, what's it? What? Like, surely they know what a bad movie is at this point, don't they?
Do they? I'm gonna leave that hang. Can I just respond to that with they did make Batman vs Superman and it got a standing ovation?
That's true. And they did give $70 million to make the Snyder Cut.
They did. No, wasn't it like $400 million or something stupid?
70 extra million to make to do Martian Manhunter, I guess.
Oh, that was good though. I didn't know, money well spent. The movie needed it. I felt like it needed it. Sean, are you excited, more excited or less excited about the Batman having known they've got a sequel lined up?
I think I'm as excited. Because,
okay,
as you've said, a standing ovation from the company producing the movie, that means nothing. No. So, from what I've seen so far, the trailers I've seen, this looks like a good movie. I'll watch that. And I might watch a sequel. It'd be nice if they made one, I suppose.
Yeah, I think do the fucking film. Let's see what happens. Should be the idea. And I think you bring... And I think it could do quite well. Although it's being called like a horror, it's being called like it's the darkest Batman movie ever. But once again, that's all just PR. We'll just wait until it comes out and see what it's like, or watch the next trailer. Because the first trailer was pretty great.
First trailer was class. And if the whole movie was like that, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah. So I think that's it for this week's Movie Monday, Sean.
A lot of rumours and speculation this week, Connor, but tune in next week for Fandom discussion.
Fandom discussion. All the trailers will be broken down here on the show.
And so, would you like me to take us out?
Yes, please.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We'll be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero Zero, next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big thanks to everyone who supports us over on Patreon, patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Big shout outs to the award nominated host of WAMTAT, that's Waffles and Mario Talk About Things. Waffles from, oh, Waffles, you're after giving me a name here, a town name or a city name. Oh, I'm going to do my best.
Oh, no.
Waffles from Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. I mean, that's definitely not pronounced correctly, but yes.
Aotearoa. I'm offending someone. Thanks also to Kira Lawler, David Clark, Ed Ball, Joe Burney, Roisin Shrodoshin, Halley, Ryan Wrighttime Evanson, Sean Heroes Don't Do That Jameson, Dominic, Josiah Florida Gal Green, Anna Team Irish Walrus Helmroos, Little Dicky, That Night They Handed Out Some Gifts to the Other People, McGrew. What are the gifts? Who knows? Are they death sticks? Danny McLaughlin, Ray, I can't believe Wanda did this, and Sammy DeLucia. Thanks, everyone, for the continued support. If you want to listen to movie reviews, we review the Marvel shows. We do a whole bunch of stuff over on the Patreon, so do head over there and check it out. $5 or more a month gets you access to all of that. Other ways to support the show, we do have a Spreadshirt link down below where you can get Heroes for Hire merch and things like that. Twitter is at Heroes for Hire Pod, the 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Diplomats Discussion Group or Heroes for Hire Podcast. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast as well. Whatever podcast platform you're listening on, if you could leave a like or a follow or a review, any of that at all helps and gets us in front of algorithm gods. We tried to reset the Facebook algorithm last week and, oh boys, oh, we made a mistake. It worked out for no one, as it turns out. But you can head over there. But the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
And so I think that's about it, Connor.
That's okay. So I have been Connor Lawler.
I have been Sean Meehan.
And we shall see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.